This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Burrito Brigade started in 2014 and has hand-delivered thousands of nutrition vegan meals to hungry individuals in Eugene and Springfield. Burrito Brigade targets two of the most insecure food days, Saturday and Sunday. Their unique distribution model delivers a hot meal directly to the hungry via foot, bike, and automobile. All right, I'm here talking with
Jennifer Denson.
All right, with Burrito Brigade. How did Burrito Brigade start?
We started in 2014 when we saw the need of a hot meal or, you know, food access on the weekend. So we started out with one day a week. We quickly grew into 2 days a week. We have now made close to 303,000 meals to date and over 12,000 volunteers that have participated.
Was it you that started it, or?
No, I answered a Facebook ad and was interested in getting involved, and I was instantly hooked.
And we're here at Food for Lane County. Was it always here? Wasn't it in a house like Food Not Bombs?
Correct. In the beginning, it was started in a house, and then we started using churches, and then COVID hit, and both of those churches shut down. So then we've been essentially at Food for Lane County since the beginning of the pandemic. Our kitchen should be finished in our building in a few months, so then all of our projects will be under one roof.
Oh, so you're going to move from Food for Lane County?
Correct. We're Food for Lane County is temporary.
All right, and I notice you have drops, these drop boxes around town.
The little free pantries are also our project. On Saturday and Sunday, the ones closest to the Whitaker area get fresh burritos. But there is 55 of them across town that are neighbors helping neighbors. So if you have a can of food excess in your pantry and you can drop one off and another family can take it.
I notice you have a thing on Facebook that is making it easier to volunteer.
Yes. So we're now using Sign Up Genius on our website so that you can pick a weekend that you want to get involved and just sign up.
But you're getting enough people,
Oh, yeah. Volunteers, it's always a great turnout, and it's a great time.
And anybody can get the food, too. It's not just religious people.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, no.
All are welcome.
All are welcome. Always. We've always been no questions asked. Pretty much from the beginning, it was, do you want a free burrito? And then our little free pantries are just free food, no questions asked.
All right, and so what is the general situation with the homeless? What can you tell me how people are fed in this town?
There is still very little access on the weekends. There are quite a few organizations locally that rely on our burritos. We service Whitebird, the service station, First Place Family Center, and then usually five or six of our pantries in the Whitaker.
All right, so what do you think it's going to need to get people fed?
I think, it's just community. We still got to look out for our neighbors, and doesn't matter if they don't have a house, they still deserve to be fed, and food is a human right.
So a top-down approach, what about legislation and Congress and the government?
Oh, that's out of my scope. I like to be on the ground, and I'm not sure politically wise. Something's got to change, but I'm not sure.
Well, so you're not going to wait for them to to do it.
No,
you're getting with
keep feeding and doing what I do best.
And so it's more important to get with your neighbors.
Yeah, is the way
we're going to solve this.
Yeah, I think working together for the greater good.
So how do you start a burrito brigade in your community?
We have a kind of a recipe start, and so if somebody in another city wants to reach out, we have the startup kind of booklet, but it's really easy because once you get people involved, they see how easy this is and what a fun time we have.
All right, so here's the radical question, okay? So there's a lot of people in town a lot of groups would say that we need a general strike to get things done. Would you guys be there for a general strike? Are you capable of feeding people if that were to happen?
Probably not. Probably because we're still, we're trying to do what we do best, which is kind of low scale, and I don't know if that would be, I can't say that that would be in our wheelhouse.
But maybe, but you're not against it?
Not totally.
And could that be potentially where this would go? I mean, I'm talking about mutual aid and things like that. You fall into that category of mutual aid.
Yes.
And someday, maybe it could be used for social change.
Maybe.
Their motto is, take what you need, give what you can. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors. If you're interested in hosting a pantry, helping make sure they stay well-stocked, or are in need of food, or want to get involved otherwise, or want to donate food, go to burritobrigade.org. A small group of Iranian Americans carrying American flags have been demonstrating in front of the Eugene Whole Foods, pleading for the U.S. to do something about human rights violations in Iran caused by Western foreign economic policy. I spoke to one of the demonstrators.
All right, so I'm standing here in front of Whole Foods Market, and people have signs out saying support Iran.
Yes.
Why are you out here with signs saying support Iran?
We are here to support democracy and freedom in Iran. There is a revolution going on right now in Iran. This has been happening since September 2022, when a 22-year-old Kurdish Iranian girl named Mahsa Jina Amini was killed by the morality police for showing a little bit of her hair. That was a catalyst for people to come out and demand freedom and democracy and a secular government in Iran. And we are here to support that.
And how do you get a democratic government in Iran?
Well, the stopping it is the Iranian government, who is killing, shooting, executing people. More than 20,000 people are in prison right now since September. More than 600 people have been shot, including 70 children, 9, 10-year-olds. So it's really hard to bring about change. We're trying to help the Iranian people. We are certain that we will win because we are on the right side of history. And we're hoping to bring a fair and free election to decide the future of Iran and future government. Right now, we're concentrating on overthrowing the government. We do not want Islamic Republic anymore.
So how did the Islamic Republic come to power?
That was starting in 1979 when the Shah of Iran was overthrown. A revolution happened. Everybody was looking for democracy and freedom. Unfortunately, that movement was basically taken over by a theocratic government, and we have this situation for 44 years. A theocratic dictatorship, basically.
And how much is America complicit in this new regime?
And you mean the Islamic Republic? Well, yeah, they are complicit. Carter actually didn't support the Shah. There are documents that has just come out that Khomeini got financial support from the Carter administration. It was very unfortunate. And so a lot of Iranians are frustrated right now. Right now, at this point, we do not want the United States, we do not want boots in Iran. We don't want military intervention. However, we would like United States to support Iranians right now in this current revolution by putting sanctions, by considering IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, as terrorist organization. We would like the U.S. government to pressure EU to consider IRGC as a terrorist organization. That's our demand.
All right, but you don't want to return to the Shah.
Well, that is, no, we don't want authoritarian government, but this is something that Iranians in Iran will decide. We just want free and fair election. We want democracy.
And is this about resource extraction and oil from Iran?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
What about Israel? Are they complicit? Or do you want to talk about that?
I don't really know how much Israel was it. I know that Iranians right now are very sympathetic to Israel. We don't have Iranian people the people of Iran have no animosity toward Israel. We're not Arabs. We don't have territorial dispute with it. We want to have peace and freedom with everybody, with Arabs, with Israelis. We have no animosity. We do not agree with Islamic republics being enemy of everybody and making wars and trying to export their revolution. We don't want that. We don't want terrorism. We just want to live in peace and security with all our neighbors, period.
All right, did you want to give your name?
And my name is Rebecca, last name Depret.
And your organization?
We are just concerned citizens. I don't belong to any specific organization. We're just concerned Iranian Americans. We just want freedom, period.
All right, anything else?
That's it. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
On February 17th, University of Oregon students gathered in front of Global Scholars Hall, where they charged a student was illegally fired for supporting a union organizing effort. UO Student Workers is organizing a union for nearly 3,000 undergraduate student workers on campus, including tutors, dining hall and recreation center workers, teaching and research assistants. The group UO Student Workers is organizing a union for the nearly 3,000 undergraduate students working on campus, including tutors, dining hall and recreation center workers, and teaching and research assistants. Under Oregon law, if a majority of the workers sign union cards within 6 months, university administrators will be required to recognize and enter written negotiations with the union, which would be the largest undergraduate student worker union in the country. Student workers are now in the peak period of collecting those cards and are facing increasing intimidation tactics from university managers. Quote, UO managers have prohibited workers from talking about the union at work or from wearing union pins while at work, both things that are clearly illegal, stated UOSW member Elizabeth White. Last weekend, one of the top union leaders was fired from his dining hall job for violating a rule that has never previously been enforced. His illegal termination came one day after a national story about our union appeared in The Nation magazine, featuring this student. In response to these acts, the union has filed a complaint with the Oregon Employment Relations Board charging the university violated student workers' rights under state law. Students gathered at the Global Scholars Hall to deliver a petition demanding Garahan's reinstatement. Faculty, graduate students, and local labor leaders voiced support for today's protest. Quote, the most fundamental value of any university has to be respect for free speech. That includes the right of students to decide about unionization free from retaliation or intimidation, stated Professor David Lubke, Vice President for Academic Freedom of the American Association of University Professors, Oregon Chapter. UO student workers, like all workers everywhere, have the right to form unions without facing threats to their jobs. The University of Oregon is a big and respected institution in our town, but it's not above the law, said Jeff McGillivray, president of the Lane County chapter of the AFL-CIO. Student workers are a valuable part of our campus community. They should be allowed to advocate for themselves as both students and workers. Students deserve to have a free and fair process during their union membership drive, said UO Professor Mike Drayling, former president for United Academics, University of Oregon. Graduate student workers at the U of O have had a union for more than 40 years. You'd think that by now the administration would have stopped trying to intimidate people out of exercising their basic rights to seek better working conditions, explained Emily Beatty, vice president of the Graduate Teaching Fellows Federation. Union means community, so we are currently building a relief fund to support our co-workers who are being fired or having their hours cut in response to their organizing efforts, said Carolyn Roderick, UOSW member, president for Student Leadership Council for Resident Assistance. Meanwhile, we are here to insist that the U of O respect the law and our right to organization. This was a press release from UO student workers reported in the Student Insurgent.
I'm a student worker at Central Kitchen and also in student government. And I've been working on this campaign from the very outset, almost a year now, even before we kicked off. And I'm just gonna talk a little bit about why we should unionize and also get into the updates. But I really wanna start by thanking everybody for being here, which I always do. Student workers are in a very unique and difficult position where being workers takes up half of our time, being students takes up half of our time, and we have no free time left over, let alone time to organize to change our conditions. So it's very praiseworthy for everyone. I want to get into reasons to unionize, because this campaign at this point is very public in trying to get people to sign cards. And I want to people to know the reasoning behind that. So there are a lot of reasons to unionize. The university is not going to pay us livable wages or institute satisfactory working conditions unless we fight against them. We've seen it for over a year now. It's not going to happen unless we fight with our collective power. The university is going to continue to increase tuition, continue to neglect affordable housing, continue to privatize and cater to rich donors instead of us, its students, unless we fight back. Beyond improving working conditions, unionizing is the path to building collective power, to working within our community, with other unions, with each other, to build student and worker power, and fulfill the promises of accessible, quality public education. So there are a million different reasons to unionize, from getting like increased to dollars per hour, to increasing safety under conditions like COVID, food safety, all that sort of thing. But beyond that, we build collective power in a very important and relevant way. I'll be getting into the formal process for unionizing and general updates in just a moment, but the one key piece of information that people should take away from the meeting is this. If everybody in this room does some organizing work in the next 2 weeks, we will win. If we don't mobilize ourselves, our coworkers, our friends, we will likely lose the card check campaign. That's just where it's at right now. We've had a lot of core people working on this for a long time. If we don't have a large body of people who otherwise are just student workers putting a little bit of legwork in, we probably won't win. And there are like secondary conditions to win our union beyond that, but we should win through collective power through the card check process. So that's the main goal. That's the stakes of the campaign. We have through the end of the term. This is the final stretch. The time, broadly, is now. So I really hope people come out of this meeting really fired up, ready to sign cards, build collective power, all that kind of stuff. We'll be going over the basics of unionizing, the kind of legal processes and updates at where our campaign is at, going over some petitions and kind of minor workplace actions that we've been doing up to this point. We'll be voting on our mission statement, which is based on language that we drafted at our last mass member meeting. And then we'll be doing the meat of the meeting, workplace breakouts, figuring out how to build power within your workplace and to get cards signed. And then we'll do closing announcements. So please don't leave after breakouts. So if you haven't heard it before, we are in a very special place because in Oregon, as public sector employees, which we are, we can win a union through a card check campaign where we get the majority of our bargaining unit, of our unit to sign cards, and then we win the unit through that process. That's very beneficial because the other way to unionize, which is to file for election and then go through election and win, takes a lot longer, and because of summer break and just paying students, that would be highly detrimental to us. That is our plan B. If we don't win card check, we can go to an election, but that is not the preference. And we really only have until the end of the term, basically. Right after spring break, we have to submit, and we don't expect a lot of cards during dead week, during finals week. So the next 2 weeks are the time to get stuff done. We've been primarily collecting cards through two methods. That's mass outreach, that's our canvassers, tablers, people going and doing worksite visits, the stuff that might start to annoy people at this point. But we're also doing a ton of work within workplaces, workplace organizing, building this kind of council of workers with their own issues that are fighting to unionize their own workplace and advocate for themselves. That's the kind of democratic structure that we want to build up for our union, and this is the primary way that we need to lock in the last few hundred cards that we have to get. So in breakouts, we're going to talk about organizing committees and how to join them, if they already exist, how to form them if they don't exist, and how to make those an effective way to kind of like build our power and our campaign. We are past 75% of our card goal, which is really, really exciting. Workplace majorities in housing. That's everywhere in housing. That's the Housing Service Center. That's RAs. Yeah. saying. That's dining wide, and that's also every single venue, as far as I understand, maybe minus catering. So that's also super exciting. In the EMU, huge. Dean of students, and then there's probably more. We really do have some strong workplaces going, so that's a really cool thing. Fundraising, we are continuing to make money, and we're now registered 501c3, so we can spend our money better. To help someone like Will, who was retaliated against for unionizing, and to pay for legal fees, which is going to become increasingly important. You can fill out that QR code there, or use the link, but I know that we are all poor students, so the real play there is getting it to your family. Those people can support our other networks, they can help fundraise, because we're gonna start needing our money and we can use it better now. Here's a lovely little graph of what our progress has looked like. We really want to hit that kind of 1,800, 1,900 card mark. There are probably about 3,000 student workers on campus, which is to say over 1,500 cards should be a win, but lots of those cards could be invalid from people quitting, from people making a mistake on the card, and so we need that buffer zone, and that's what this last 2 weeks is really, really about. If we get 300 cards in the next 2 weeks, winning should be a lock, and if we don't, it's possible, but it's a really dire situation. And that's the main thing that people should come out of this with. So that's the basics of updates in breakout groups. If you've got more specific questions, people can answer those. I'm gonna get a little bit into some kind of more fun, more actionable stuff that we've been working on. And then I'm gonna hand it off to Izzy, who is also working on fun, actionable stuff. And if you are a dining worker, please fill out the QR code right now if you have not already done that. We are fighting for free shift meals for dining student workers. Dining student workers are some of the worst compensated workers on campus, I would know. And free shift meals address both that kind of compensation benefit issues and they combat food insecurity, which is really, really rampant on UO campus compared to the rest of the nation. Last thing is that free shift meals are a benefit that existed for student dining workers until 2016 when they stripped them away. They stripped them away. Michael Griffel, who is the director of housing, said that student workers didn't appreciate them enough. Tom Driscoll said that they were too expensive, and a bunch of really ridiculous stuff. But it kind of shows that without a union, we have no way to protect the benefits that we do have, and they will strip them away with no compensation and no retaliation. So hopefully everybody's had a minute to fill that out, but we are fighting for that, and even if we don't win it through standard petition, it is something that we can fight for in collective bargaining broadly. That is stuff that I've been working on my end. Thank you everybody for listening. I know I've been going on for a minute.
Please copy the link somewhere, send it to your friends who are dining hall workers, right? So let's spread this around. Speaking of spreading stuff around, I am going to tell you really quick about this survey. So basically, the U of O Human Resources Department has a wage scale with corresponding duties associated with certain wage rates. So basically, this survey aims to see how many student workers are being underpaid according to that survey, to that wage scale, excuse me. So anyway, if you haven't filled it out yet, it's already on our Instagram. If you haven't filled it out, please just take a moment, scan the QR code, go through, write your name, right, and see what those wage rates actually look like and what roles and duties are assigned to them. Now, if you go through the survey and find out, hey, wait a second, according to this wage scale, I should be getting paid this, but my hourly rate is actually lower, that's something that we're trying to figure out from this survey. And getting data to actually figure out how many student workers feel like they're being underpaid according to what the university actually promises us is really important to be able to create narratives and build actions to bargain for better wages for all student workers. So anyway, and if you have filled this out, please just take a moment to send it to your friends or send it to your like coworkers, things like that. And if you don't have time to do it right now, maybe you don't have your phone, things like that, it's on our Instagram, it's on our website. Just take a moment, get involved, send it to your people. So with that, I want to transition it to, speaking of narratives, it's time to talk about our mission statement. So I believe that's May. All right, cool.
So first we gotta go over some definitions.
Okay, so our first one is solidarity. You've all seen this word a lot, I'm sure, but just to clarify what that means, So it's a sort of a sense of unity and collective action between all departments and all workers. So it's the people that are next to you on your job, on your shift. It's also the people across departments, and it's student workers showing up for each other. So for an example, we had people from a lot of different workplaces show up to our rally for Will. We had a lot of workers show up to RAs when we brought our petition to TFAB. So just the idea is that we do everything together and we have a sense of solidarity between all of us. So rank and file democracy, look at the person to your left, look at the person to your right. You all are equally important in how we make decisions. So we make decisions all together. It's not a group of us that are telling everyone else what to do. We all make decisions that are good for all of us. Militant unionism. I know this one might be a little scary for people, but the idea of it is that by playing by the university's rules, we will never get a fair contract. And we will use our collective power to withhold labor and get a fair contract. It means that, you know, when they don't hear our demands, it means we escalate. And collective bargaining. So that would be us working with management to get a fair contract. This applies in both single workplaces and across workplaces. Again, building off that idea of solidarity. You know, we work together and we all get a better contract than any single one of us could by ourselves. The next one is union busting. Sure, we've heard this one a lot as well. So it's any actions taken against a student worker involved in the union or the union in general by management. So we have some examples up there, such as the university. It can be something as extreme as firing organizers. It can be something as small as making you feel uncomfortable about the union. It can be a manager approaching you and saying, I'm not so sure you want to do that. All of those things are union busting, no matter how big or small. So it's important that we call that out when that does happen.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Can we really quickly get a round of applause for all the RAs? Okay, so we took feedback at the last mass meeting. We got like a good list of vocabulary, and like the biggest things that stood out were an emphasis on transparency, democracy, community, strength, those types of things. So we took that and we wrote a mission statement trying to say like what our union is, what our goals are, what our values are, and how do we plan to achieve the things we want to do. So the University of Oregon Student Workers is committed to the ideal of democratic, rank and file, militant unionism, and to the empowerment of all student workers at UO. The university works because we work. Without our labor, the university cannot function. We demand that our work be recognized and respected, and that workers are compensated appropriately with respect to duties performed and the rising cost of living. We are committed to ensuring this through the use of our collective power. UOSW exists at a special position within the national labor movement and seeks to direct labor through the training of new organizers and new union workers towards the interests of the working class. We recognize that student workers are disproportionately discriminated against due to their racial and ethnic identities, sexual orientation, gender, national origin, and socioeconomic status. We are dedicated to building a sustainable, democratic, accessible, and equitable union that fights for the rights of student workers, students, and other workers on campus. So, the first big vote that we're going to do as a union is we are either going to vote to approve or to put this mission statement for further reworking. If we approve this mission statement, we 100% can amend it in the future, but if you have signed a union card or have worked at any point in this campaign, you are eligible to vote. So raise your hand if you are in favor of this mission statement. Okay, that seems like a 2/3 quorum.
And so voting, as we just did, is an example of what democracy and specifically what a rank and file democracy looks like and how making decisions through a union. And another really important aspect of this democracy is organizing committees. And so student workers joining their workplace organizing committees is one of the most important things to do right now, and is the most meaningful way in that our union can fight for issues that we face daily in workplaces, just because there's different issues in different workplaces, and we can't all be represented by, like all dining workers don't even face the same issues, but there's issues in dining and housing, like everyone has their own things, like pay might be kind of across the board, but still. And so organizing committees are committees in each workplace where workers who are interested go and you guys talk about the issues that are in your workplace, how things are going generally right now, how card signing is going in your workplace, and you make a plan of how to get more cards, how to outreach to workers, and in like the future, what do we want to bring to the table when we go to bargain? What do we want in our contracts? What do we want to fight for? And so organizing committees, we have some in some workplaces across campus, we don't in others, but we are looking to get some in every single workplace. They are super important. They are the most important thing you can do. I know I am super busy all the time with like classes and work and also this, but out of meetings to go to, organizing committee meetings are the meetings to go to. And so, yeah, these are just examples of demands that come from different organizing committees, like for RAs, more available mental health resources, since that's not given, and that's definitely something that should be given. For dining, there's free shift meals for dining. For childcare centers, have free training, and also I know in other places such as like the rec, have your training free and like compensated for that you're required to do your job. More flexible scheduling hours for housing service centers. And so these are just some examples of demands that can come from individual workplace committees that then go to larger committees on the union, and we can fight for them together collectively. So yes, so the best way to win our union is to go to organizing committee meetings for your workplace, or to set one up. We can help you with that too, and to get coworkers to sign cards. And also, this can't, like, this is to win the union, but after we win, because we will win, after we win, we are still going to have organizing committees. We still need to engage. We still need to take part in what we want. And after winning is bargaining, and bargaining a contract with UO is going to take all of us. So please do organizing committees. Okay, so.
KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works, Independent Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media and support unions.
For the fight auto workers who are twisted, tricked, and robbed, to the peasant in Guatemala in a sweatshop got your job, and she can't feed her family on the pennies that she makes. Meanwhile, the crime rate's rising up and down the Great Lakes states. Like vegetables left in the field, the signatures smell rotten on the contracts and the deeds that push the race down to the bottom. As they load the rubber bullets, as they fire another round, I'm heading to the tear gas. Dig in, man, hold your ground for Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time for our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line. For the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long, for the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Yeah! Si nos queremos juntos vamos a ganar. Si! Yeah, hit them where it hurts and bite the hand that feeds. You might get 1 to 3 or probation and a fine. Well, I know where I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be right on that front line for Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time for our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line. For the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long, for the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Yes! Dirty scabs will cross the line while others stand aside and look, but ain't nobody never got nothing that didn't raise a voice and push. Like the steel worker in Ohio, the miner in West Virginia, the teacher in Chicago, janitor in Mississippi, like the farmer in North Dakota, garment worker in New York City, the longshoreman in Seattle.
and the LA grocery workers who are fucking heroes, like Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time, like our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line, like the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long, like the union men and women standing up and standing strong, like the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long, like the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Yeah.
And that's because I was illegally fired for union organizing a couple weeks ago. So I was fired. Their given reason was that I was eating food that was about to be thrown out, and I didn't pay for it, which is kind of ridiculous. So I want to do a show of hands. Who here is from dining? Who here works in dining or places? Then out of everybody here, who has taken food from dining without paying for it? Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, nobody gets fired for that. Extremely extraneous circumstances. You know, over 30% of students on campus face food insecurity issues. No wonder people are going to be taking food from dining halls without paying for it. So they claim I wasn't fired for union organizing, but we know they're lying. The same week that I was fired, two of our other, you know, most prominent organizers and activists and supporters with the union in our workplace, one of them being Emily, were targeted with unfair discipline out of the blue. So we know exactly, you know, why they're doing this. It's because they're afraid. It's because, you know, they see us organizing and they know that we want higher wages, we want, you know, 2-week pay periods, we want to have to work less hours, and we don't want to work as hard because we want to lead better lives. And they don't want us to do that. They want us to work for less money, they want us to work more hours, and they want us to work harder so they can keep their bottom line down. So our interests are kind of at odds, and so they're starting to get afraid when they see us organizing. So GSH workers were fed up. We walked out and we marched on our boss. We responded by showing our bosses our solidarity and our power. Almost a week later, we marched again into GSH, this time with like over 100 other student workers and supporters. Yeah. Yeah. We delivered a petition with over 150 signatures, including half of the student workers in GSH, to our managers and the administrators in housing dining, demanding that they stop this union busting. We're standing up for ourselves. The administration fired me because they're afraid, of us because we know our worth, because we know that our collective power comes from our control over the work we do, and because we will use that power to fight for our union, students, workers, and most importantly, student workers on campus.
Hey guys, I'm Emily, I use she, her pronouns. I work at GSH Fresh, and I'm a co-director in the Roar office in the EMU. I think everybody's aware of like obvious union busting tactics such as taking down posters or management telling you not to wear pins on the clock. Luckily, after continually challenging the legality of management's claims that wearing pins is illegal and asserting our rights in the workplace, it was confirmed that it actually is legal to wear pins in the workplace on the clock. Okay, despite this win, there are still a lot of subtle forms of union busting and they are detrimental to our campaign. Management and some anti-union students have been spreading false information about the union and its intentions in an effort to discourage potential members. Management can make you and your coworkers feel uncomfortable, and it's your guys' job to push back against this to keep our union strong. Every single student worker is a key part of the success of our union. I just want to remind you guys all that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys for being here.
Hi, I'm Max. I work with the Roar office. Just wanted to highlight something that we're working on right now. Savan and I put together a little presentation, not actually a presentation, but a little blurb. We're trying to create a BIPOC caucus within the union. In order to represent all of our members more accurately, UO Student Workers needs to create spaces that center BIPOC student workers. If you are an interested BIPOC worker, please join the Black, Indigenous, and Student Workers of Color Caucus by SWOC, anyways, to build power and community for marginalized and historically excluded student workers in the union effort. So it's just this little QR code right here. We're recognizing that the university is a predominantly white institution, and the spaces that we are creating are likewise predominantly white. So to sort of center the material needs of and interests of BIPOC student workers, we'll be sending out a when to meet for caucus kickoff meeting to people who sign up here. And that will have, discussion space, we'll have free food, and be identifying action items for the union to take on and be more representative of our entire community. If you are interested in joining the BISWOC group, or want to help facilitate meetings or form additional caucus spaces, if there's another caucus space that you'd like to see happen, for instance, a CUNY SWOC, anyways, queer trans student workers with, student workers organizing committee, something like that. Anyways, or other groups, again, scan this code right here. It got a lot louder all of a sudden. And we'll get in touch with you.
Okay. So over the last 150 days, we've been exponentially collecting cards. We now have 2 weeks that will determine the success of our card check campaign. Over the last 150 days, all of these organizers here that presented have been spending hours and hours every single week organizing and collecting cards. But yet these next 2 weeks will determine the success of our campaign. Spring break, finals week, dead week, student workers are busy. They're probably the busiest students on campus. So week 8 and week 9 are the last 2 weeks that we can collect cards reasonably. We need to contact 350 more student workers and get them to sign cards. It's not that many. We've done it with 1,500 so far, and there are 350 that are left so that we can get our card check goal. There are over 50 of us in this room right now. If each of us in this room right now gets 5 cards this week, we will hit our goal, easy. Yeah. But we will only easily hit our goal if every single person in this room gets 5 cards. My hand's shaking saying that because I'm scared that we won't win, but we can each do that. If we each do it, we will win. Okay, raise up hands. How many people will get 5 cards this week?
Thank you.
You each have 5 cards in your hands, and if you don't, you will get it on the way out. You also have, with your stack, you have a sheet that says exactly what those cards need to have. Because we don't want invalid cards at this point. It's too late. We can't get people to re-sign their cards anymore. Yeah. So this might seem scary. So tomorrow, from 7 to 9, we have our weekly campus-wide organizing meeting where we talk about the places that we need the most help getting cards. Especially, we need students from the rec to turn out and sign their cards. We need students from enrollment to turn out and sign their cards. We need academic buildings, the workers in the academic offices, and the research assistants there to sign their cards. I'm forgetting one. Those are the big ones.
Library.
Oh, tutors. We need tutors to sign their cards. So tomorrow and the next Monday, we have this meeting from 7 to 9 in Allen 101. Okay, so your task is to get 5 cards, but how do you even have that conversation with one of your coworkers? Maybe you know, because I think every single one of this person's room has gotten someone to sign a card already. But if it is scary, because it was scary for me to go up to someone and ask them to sign a card, then we have a training on Tuesday from 6 to 7, which is how to effectively have these conversations. So, everyone, pull out their phones. This is the final QR code of the day, and we're all gonna commit to getting 5 cards signed. I will end this with saying that this is the way that we can meaningfully get our wage increases. Make sure that we have real formal mechanisms to deal with the harassment that student workers face at their jobs every day. The only meaningful way to be able to get sick pay, free shift meals, paid trainings, which I'm pretty sure that you're not allowed to have unpaid training, but the university still does it, it's illegal. All of this work over the last 150 days will be at jeopardy if we do not turn out cards in the next 2 weeks. We will have time for questions right now if anyone has questions.
How much money did Dartmouth student workers?
21. Plus, I think they make 22 after working there for one term, right? Okay, we also have, we communicate on Signal. So if anyone would like to join our Signal chat where we make announcements, please come up to me, Elizabeth, or Noah at the end of the meeting, and we will add you to the Signal chat if you're not in it.
Performing silence, we are deceived. All the doors of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. We are deceived. All the doors of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. Love is strong, hearing its loudest come fire away. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another way. Love is strong, go ahead and end the world with your charade. Wrong, constantly dreaming of another way.
Could I get some more piano, please?
I do believe you are strong in forming violence. We are strong performing silence. I do believe you are strong in forming violence. We are strong performing silence. We are deceived. All the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. We are deceived. All the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. Love is strong, hearing its loudest gunfire away. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another way. If love
I'm constantly dreaming of another. Find me a red bag, one without a tag. Hope that you are near, valiantly appear. Find me a red bag. Find me a red bag, one without a tag. Hope that you are near, valiantly appear. Find me a red bag. Behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Till the end. Tonight's the test. Tonight's the time. I am the punishment that fits the crime. I'll break the bricks. I'll pick the locks. I don't got nothing, but I'll give what I got. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Until the end. Ten trials whose outcomes all fixed from the start. Nine judges sitting counting their money in the dark. Eight towers of iron surround the desert town. On a cold December morning, seven martyrs knock them down. Four fathers still waiting for their five sons to come home. Six mothers who know better and accept that they're gone. 4 years I've been hunted, still I breathe free. Three times I shot the sheriff and did not spare the deputy. Two prayers I'm praying until we're together. One promise I'm keeping tonight and forever. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now, until the end. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Until the end.
Thank you.